genealogies are never fun, and Paul said to Timothy, he said, avoid endless genealogies, so we'll call this endless genealogies, because all of 36 is just one literally endless genealogy, recounting the kings and the sons of Esau and the dukes of Seir and all this other stuff. So pretty wild stuff. Genesis chapter 36 is where we'll be. Genesis chapter 35, last part of that, and Genesis 36. I was looking up there on the map. I'm going to show you a couple of things in here this morning. Genesis chapter 35, we're not obviously going to read all of this. By the time we finish reading down to the end of Genesis 36, you'd be asleep, and we'd be out of time. Now, in here in Genesis chapter 35, verse 23, we go through again the genealogy of Jacob. You ought to be able, you almost have it memorized. There's four wives, and there's six by Leah, and two by Rachel, and two by Bilhah, and two by Zilpah. And there you have it. And then you get this thing down here in verse 27. And Jacob goes to Isaac unto Mamre, unto the city of Arba, which is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac sojourn. The days of Isaac were 104 years. How many is that? 180. 180. 20 years for each score. 180 years. And Isaac gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. So Esau and Jacob had separated when Jacob came into Shechem, and Esau has come back now and for the burial. Isaac, I think, was 137 or 138 years old when he blessed Jacob, thinking that maybe he was getting ready to die. So he lived 42 more years after that blessing. He was a little premature in that thing, and finally died. Now, it says here that he was in Mamre, Arba, Hebron, all that in verse 27. Well, Hebron is still here. You know, you'll hear people talk about it today. It's right here, and it's Jerusalem is right up here. So it's right down there. It's west of the Dead Sea. This is all of Israel today. This green thing is the West Bank. Here's the Gaza Strip up there, the Golan Heights. And so Hebron is right here. That's still there today, which is a remarkable thing, is the way so many places change their names. Mamre is the name of that plain. It is the region when he says that he, under Mamre. That's the plain of Mamre. And the city Arba, which is Hebron, it has changed its name from the first time when it was called. Now, I gave you a couple of references there to check out. We'll, to save a little time, we won't flip through it. But basically what happened is this. Before the Jews got into that land was occupied by the Anakims. And when you look over there in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and 2, the Anakims are giants. Remember, Og, king of Bashan, was a giant. And Sihon, you've got Goliath later on in David's reign are giants. That's some of the giants, those Anakims. And Arba, A-R-B-A, was the name of one of the sons or one of the descendants of the Anakims. We read about him in Joshua chapter 14, verse 15, which is in your deal. He's one of the sons, so he named that area. Now, when you go through the Bible, turn with me to Psalm 49, 11, because this is going to come up again in our lesson this morning. Psalm 49, 11. Notice this. You know, when you read the Bible gives you all kinds of answers for why we do and say the things we do. And Psalm 49, 11, talking about people, what they think. Look at verse 6, for example. They trust in their wealth, boast themselves in the multitude of their riches. If you listen to radio, talk radio today, even Christian radio stations, about a third of the programs are on how to manage your wealth now. Why? Because they trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches. So they do things like that. Now look at verse 11. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. You ever heard of the King Ranch? See? So when people do that, they're naming those things, and it's for their posterity. It's because it's to immortalize themselves, and their places are named for them. Houston, Sam Houston, Austin, Stephen F. Austin, Travis County, James Travis, Beeville, Colonel Bernard B. It's all those places are named like that. Well, Arba was the name of the city because Arba was the name of the man who was one of the descendants of the Anakims that lived there. But when The Jews went into that area and began to inhabit that land. They changed the name of Arba to Hebron. There it is to this day. So that's an interesting thing as you get new inhabitants in the land and a change of the ownership and possession. So that's all that is about there. Now this Mamre is also, let's go to Genesis chapter 49, is the place where the cave of Machpelah was. And that's the burying place for Abraham and his family. Look in Genesis chapter 49 and look in verse 30. Jacob is giving a blessing to all of his sons. Genesis 49:30 kind of let him know how it's going to go for him in their latter days. He says, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, that's that plain, in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite, or Hittite, for possession of a burying place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah, his wife. There they buried Isaac. So that's where they buried Isaac, in the same place where Abraham and Sarah were buried. And Rebekah, his wife. And then this is Jacob telling the story, and there I buried Leah. All right, then look in Genesis 50, verse 13. Jacob also gets buried there. His sons carried him into the land of Canaan, Genesis chapter 50, verse 13. Buried him in the cave of the field of Machpelah, which Abraham bought with the field for possession of a burying place of Ephron the Hittite before Mamre. So that's a very important place. If you're a Jew and you're looking for your lineage, God always says, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's where those patriarchs are buried. And so when people start talking about, we're going to give you half of this city and we're going to set up a Palestinian state and you're going to live here and that kind of stuff, and people start going in and messing up with those burying places, that is tremendously important to a Jew, that area. Because that's where Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Rebekah, and Jacob and Leah are all buried. And Leah brought forth six of those children. Now Rachel wasn't buried there. Rachel was buried on the way to Bethlehem when she died bearing Benjamin, if you'll remember from a recent study. Okay, one little verse, a lot of significance. Now we're down into Genesis chapter 36. Genesis chapter 36. Esau and Jacob decide they cannot live. I should have brought my little red pointer in here, you know, do like Coburn did the other day. Y'all liked it so much. But I'll go over here and use my finger. That's what we do now. We, in South Texas, we use our finger. Okay. That's a fanger, isn't it? It is, Milton, isn't that a... You knew what that was. Yeah. That's a little finger. That's not a finger, that's a thumb. I need to do junior church, right? I know what you're thinking. Yeah. They want you in here, brother. All right, that's Jerusalem. Here's Hebron here. This is the area that leads... This is the Dead Sea right down here. This area right here, look how Jordan goes all the way to the beginning of the Red Sea down here. Well, the places we're going to be studying now are called Bozrah and Teman. They're all below the Dead Sea, right on this border of Israel and Jordan. Very, very significant place. We talked one time, months ago, about a place called Sela Petra. It's in Jordan, but it's down below the Dead Sea, right across the border of Israel. Going to be a very, very important place during the time of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the tribulation right before that. So Esau settles down in this area. A lot of you have maps in the back of your Bible, and you'll notice that when you look at that map, you'll have a place right here for Ammon, and you'll have a place right here for Moab, and then you'll have this place down here for Edom, all this area down in here. Sela Petra is down here, Bozrah is down here, Teman is down here, the land of Uz are down there, and we're going to look at all those things in this genealogy. Now, you know, when you read these genealogies, this is where you fall out. You get saved, you come to church, and the preacher says, man, the thing you need to do to stay right with God is read your Bible. You say, yeah, amen. And you just barely survive the genealogy of Seth and Cain in Genesis chapter 4 and 5. You know, you think, God, I don't know if I can do this. Because, you know, I'll ask people, I'll say, don't you like to read the Bible? They say, oh, I just get so sick and tired of reading so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so. That tells me they've read it all the way to Genesis chapter 5. And if they happen to survive that and get to Genesis chapter 36, that's the wipeout, man. They're just like, okay, what is this? Well, what it is that inside of here, it doesn't seem very significant to you, You know, there are people by archaeological evidence that can tell you that Edomites settled down in that land down there. It was formerly inhabited by some people called the Horites, whose main offspring was a guy named Seir. They can tell you all that stuff. They can't tell you what the names of the people are. Only the Bible can tell you the names of the people that were down there. See, because the Bible is a historical record of all that stuff, more so than people will even imagine. Now, it turns out that Esau has four wives. Esau has four wives. There, it's easier now if you just refer to your little handout. As we do this, look in verse 2. Esau took wives of the daughters of Canaan, Ada, the daughter of Elam the Hittite. That's her name, A-D-A-H, Ada. But if you go back to Genesis 26, verse 34, you'll find out that her name was Bashemoth. Bashemoth. And so she's got two names, and that's what happens. You'll marry somebody that's named Elizabeth, and they'll call her Beth or Betty or Bet or whatever. And I don't know how they got Ada out of Bashemath, but that's also her name. All right, and then the next wife is Aholibamah. Boy,
nickname,
yeah. maybe she was a football fan. Maybe that's Aholibamah.
Amen.
Amen. The daughter of Anah, the daughter of Zibion the Hivite. Boy, this, you know, you see how you can just tailspin right here. And then another one named Bashemath. That's probably why Ada got her name. Ishmael's daughter, sister of Nebajoth. And then another one named Judith of Beerah. She's back there in Genesis 26. And Bashemath of Ishmael is also named Mahalath. But you got four wives there, but two of them have combination names, as you can see there. And then you can see their offspring. Now, I want you to see something interesting. Ada, her offspring, first guy is named Eliphaz. And then Eliphaz has all these other children. Now, read his children in Genesis 36:11. The sons of Eliphaz will watch these. Teman, Omar, Zepho, Gatam, Kenaz. Timnah was concubine to Eliphaz, Esau's son, and she bare Eliphaz, Amalek. All right, the names of his sons then are Teman, Omar, Zepho, Gatam, Kenaz, and Amalek. Timnah, the concubine, bore him. Now go to 1 Chronicles, chapter 1. And if for some reason you were fortunate enough to make it through the Levitical priesthood in Levi, in the book of Leviticus, and the count of all the tribes in Numbers, and the second giving of the law in Deuteronomy, and you got out there to Joshua, you started having fun, you go through Joshua and the judges and Ruth and 1st, 2nd Samuel, you go all through that stuff, you have a good time in there, and then you get to 1st Chronicles. If you hadn't lost your appetite for reading Bible, you will die here. Because there's 10 chapters of nothing but genealogies. And one of them stuck down here is interesting. Look in verse 35 of 1 Chronicles chapter 1. 1 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 35. The sons of Esau, Eliphaz, Reuel, Jeush, Jaalam, Korah. Now watch it. The sons of Eliphaz. Okay, look down your deal here. Teman, we see him. Omar, we see him. Zephi, that's Zepho, we see him. Gatam, we see him. Kenaz, we see him. Timnah, wait a minute, that's not the name of a son, that was the name of a concubine. Okay, we got a contradiction in the Bible, so what we need to do is go back to the Hebrew and throw the Bible out and promote scholarship, right? No, don't you dare. Timnah is the name of a son that wasn't named in that first list. And the last one's named Amalek. But Timnah also has another name, just like two of his wives do. Now go back to Genesis chapter 36, you see there's actually a seventh son that wasn't named in the first list. Genesis chapter 36, look at verse 16. And notice in Esau's line, he's going to name these boys again, and they're all called dukes. Every time I read this, they're called the Dukes of Edom. I keep thinking of that show that used to be on TV years ago called The Dukes of Hazzard.
They knew what a finger was.
They knew what a finger was, too. Yeah. Okay. Verse 15 of Genesis 36, these were the dukes of the sons of Hazard, Esau, the sons of Eliphaz, the firstborn son of Esau. Here they are, Duke Teman, we found him, Omar, Zepho, Kenaz, What's this guy? Korah. He wasn't in the original list. Gatam, Amalek, these are the dukes that came of Eliphaz in the land of Edom. These were the sons of Adah. So there is another boy in there, a seventh boy. His name is Korah, and he's also called Timnah in 1 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 36. And the Bible will do that in order to throw a scholar into a hissy fit to criticize God's Word. And how many of you mothers, well, I know one in here, she has 9 children. You know what I'm talking about, right? How many times did you ever recount your children and accidentally leave out one?
Yeah.
Easy to do. Huh?
How many times wasn't it an accident?
Yeah, how many times wasn't it an accident? Amen. God does things like that. He'll throw little things in here like that for you and conceal those things to make you study that Bible and compare Scripture with Scripture. There's another great case of this. The father of David was a fellow named Jesse, and when Samuel comes to pick David to be the king, he says he went through all 7 sons. But when you get over to another genealogy, there are actually 8 boys in the family. What are you going to do with that? Well, it could be that one of them was adopted. And it could be that this boy named Timnah was actually Timnah's son, adopted into Eliphaz's family and made a duke. And he changed the name from Timnah to Korah to keep from messing up, so every time he hollered Timnah, his wife didn't come running in a bad mood. I don't know about all that stuff, but it's in there. Sure, it's in there all the time. Okay, now in this line, there are 2 very notable characters. I've got them in bold and as his line, Teman and Amalek. Notable characters. Teman is very notable because he also names this region down in here for himself back in those days. Teman is about right in here. And Teman has 6 prophetic references concerning the tribulation and the second coming of Christ. I'll give you one. Look in Habakkuk chapter 3. I was talking over there to the girls at the Jubilee the other day, and one of them said, I don't understand this. I didn't think God had a father. Habakkuk chapter 3, look at verse 3. Or a place up in the universe. Habakkuk. Last one there goes last in line for lunch. You better hurry. No, I'm just kidding. Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. So it's what, the fifth of the last book of your Old Testament?
Page 955.
Page 955. Or 1,088, depending on. Da, 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 da. I want to see who's going to go last in line. No. Habakkuk 3, look at verse 3. Look at this thing. God came from Teman. So I had a person ask me, what is that? Is his father or is that a place up in the universe? Where is that? God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. Mount Paran, Selah, and Teman are all places in Edom below the Dead Sea on the route of the Second Advent. When we start studying the Second Advent on Sunday night, probably not this week, but next week, we're going to look at the path of the Second Advent. You're going to find out Jesus Christ comes right through that area called Teman. And the reason it says God came from Teman is because Jesus Christ is God, in case you didn't know that. Amen? Amen. That's his deity. Amalek is also a notable character in the line of Eliphaz, because his descendants are the bitter enemies of the Jews throughout the Old Testament. They're bitter enemies of the Jews. Amalekites. You remember Saul was the first king of Israel? Saul really messed up because he was told by Samuel that he was supposed to kill somebody. He was supposed to kill a king. The king's name was Agag. And Agag was an Amalekite. And he spared Agag. And God had determined utter destruction against Agag and the Amalekites, and Saul spared him. And that was why Saul lost his kingdom, because he disobeyed God, but particularly as it concerned these people. When these Jews leave Egypt and go out into the wilderness, Amalek descends out of the mountains, and you know what they do? They strike the weak ones in the back of the group of people that are traveling out there in the wilderness, a dirty player on top of that. Amalek, that's who that is. Okay. You sufficiently bored yet? Yeah, no, I'm just kidding you. All right, now let's look over here in verse 18. Or verse 20, actually. These are the sons of Seir. S-E-I-R, the Horite. He's named the Horite because his daddy was Hori. And they're known as the Horims or the Horites. These are the sons of Seir, Genesis 36:20, who inhabited the land, and then he gives the name. Now, I'm going to tell you something about Seir. Seir is the mountain located about... You've been to Sela Petra, haven't you, Brother Franco? You've been to Sela Petra. All right, it's kind of, it's a very narrow passageway. Isn't it in a little bit of a mount?
Just wide enough for a horse to go
through. If any of you guys ever saw Indiana Jones movie in 1989, In Search of the Holy Grail, the end of that movie, they go through that pass up to that city that's carved out of the face of a cliff. That's Sela Petra. And it's in a place called Mount Seir. And right now it is in Jordan. It's over here on this side of the deal, but and basically about in this area down here. That's going to be an area where somewhere between 100,000 and 150,000 Jews are going to hole up during the tribulation to hide from the Antichrist. Very significant. Now, that area down there is not referred to as Seir. It's referred to as Edom, but the mount is still referred to in the Bible as Mount Seir. Do they still call it that today? Or?
Well, they did when I was there. That was 1980.
1980. They did? Then they probably still do. So, I mean, that part of this guy survived up through this time. The rest of the land is now known as Jordan or Israel, in the Bible known as Edom. So the sons of Seir are listed here, and that dude, I mean, he had a lot. Look at it on the back page of your little handout here, and you can see how I've got it. He's got 7 sons. All their genealogy is listed here with all of their kids. And one daughter that's named, there are undoubtedly more daughters, but one of them is named Timnah in chapter 36, verse 22. The children of Lotan were Hori and Heman, and Lotan's sister was Timnah. That Timnah was the concubine to Amalek, and from that union came who? You just looked at it. Came Amalek. Came from Timnah and Eliphaz, I'm sorry. Yep. Timnah and Eliphaz, and their offspring was Amalek. That's where the Amalekites come from. So they come from this people that were down in there. Then notice in your little handout, because it's easy to see here, in chapter 36, verse 24 and 25, we have the sons of Zibeon. One of those sons is named Anah, and his daughter's name is Aholibama, and that's the Bama fan that married Esau.
Roll on Tide.
Roll on Tide. So you get relationship from the children of Seir twice in Esau's line as a result of intermarriage. And so one of those people, look down there in chapter 36, verse 28, look at the names of Dishon's. This is the last son that's mentioned in Seir's genealogy. Look at that guy there. The children of Dishan are these, Uz and Aaron. Uz. I've heard of the Wizard of Oz. What's significant about the name Uz? That's where Job lived. In Job 1:1, you'll find there was a man of the land of Uz. Now, I don't know this for a fact. Anybody here have a Scofield Reference Bible with dates in it? You do? Okay, what's the date in this column right here for what's going on with Seir's genealogy? How much? 1796? All right, keep your finger there and go to the book of Job. Those of you who have a date in that thing. And what's the date at the beginning of the book of Job for his existence?
1520,
is that what he puts in there? Yeah, that's late. It has a question mark beside it. That's late. It's uncertain. They don't really know the time of it, but I remember when we were in school and they were digging around archaeological things and trying to give us some information on these dates. We always discussed that Job was written somewhere between 1800 and 1700 B.C. It's the first book of the Bible that was ever written, even though Genesis actually is the chronologically of the history written by Moses and appears here, date-wise, chronologically, Job is written first, and it's between 1700 and 1800 B.C. And the reason for showing that is that it fits with this genealogy of Seir. You got a boy in Seir's line named Uz, And even still, Uz is, if, even if Job is written around 1500, you got a guy named Uz who lives down in the area and could easily have had a place named for himself. And then notice down here in the list of kings, look in verse 31. I know this is, you'll have to reread this to get the whole context of everything. But in this area, before Esau's boys settled it, there were kings that reigned in that land. Beginning with verse 31, they're all named. I've got them listed for you in your handout. They all live down here, and they reigned in that area. When one guy died, some guy from another city or another region raised up. He became the king of that whole region. When he died, his children didn't take it. Some other king from another region raised up. Notice the second king in your handout is a fellow named Jobab, and he's from a land called Bozrah. See that? Bozrah and Teman are connected in one of those prophecies in the Bible. Job was known as the richest man. Remember, who was the first of the three friends? What was the name of the first of the three friends that came to comfort Job? You remember his name? Okay, flip over to Job chapter 1 real quick. Job chapter 2 and look at verse 11. Job chapter 2 and look at verse 11. Eliphaz the Temanite. Eliphaz the Temanite. Eliphaz is the name of Ada's firstborn son, and his firstborn son is named Teman. And those guys naming those regions for themselves like that's very interesting that you've got another guy later on named Eliphaz the Temanite that comes in there. So you got a lot of overlap between this genealogy and what goes on in the book of Job. Is it absolute? I don't know, but we'll ask God when we get there. It's pretty interesting if you ask me. Okay. I mean, you got to make something interesting out of Genesis 36. Amen. Father, we're thankful that even in a list of names, we find things that confirm it's your authorship, Father, at your words, and we pray that you'll bless us for taking the time to go through and look at these things, because you said man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We pray that this little bit of study that we've been able to do today will encourage others to take a deeper look into what's in these chapters and find things, Father, to confirm your word and to understand your word. And we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.